confuses me. Stop it, I'm at the inn. Her voice dropped even lower. Her breath seemed to catch. You're gonna pay for that, Tremaine.
No.
No, Vaughn.
Okay, fine. I love you too, you handsome bastard.
That seemed to be the end of the conversation, and I turned to Nate, laughter bubbling in my throat.
That sounded familiar.
He grinned.
Didn't it?
I don't think our inn owner is going to Scotland anytime soon.
No?
No. If she's got what I've got, she's staying put.
Instead of softening, Nate's features hardened, the muscle in his jaw twitching. He leaned over, his hand on my thigh, gripping it tight.
If I'm not allowed to fuck your brains out until tomorrow night, he whispered harshly in my ear, you have to stop saying things that test my restraint.
I tried not to react, but I could feel my breasts swelling, my nipples tightening into buds that pressed against the fabric of my sundress. I wore only a thin bikini underneath it, and Nate's eyes dropped to my chest, seeing the evidence of my arousal.
Jesus, fuck.
He let go of me to slump in his chair.
This is torture.
It was torture.
It'll be worth it.
I knew.
His dark gaze flashed fire.
That's the only reason you're still sitting there, and not on my cock.
Oh, my. I looked up in horror to discover that at some point, while I was lost in my interlude with Nate, Bailey had entered the dining room and had approached our table. A flush of mortification hit my cheeks as Bailey stared wide-eyed at us for a moment. Nate sat there, cool as you please.
Morning, Miss Hartwell.
Oh. She waved him off, laughter suddenly overtaking the shock in her eyes.
Call me Bailey.
Her eyes flew to my face, which I was sure was red with embarrassment. It must have been because she grinned reassuringly.
I have one of these too.
She gestured to Nate. He says inappropriate things to me in public, so don't worry about it.
I get it, and I only heard because I'm right here.
She leaned in. My other guests are oblivious. Don't worry, I was just coming over to see if everything was okay, and that you're all settled in, but it sounds like you two are good. She chuckled to herself. Do you know what you want for breakfast? We gave her our order just as Aiden was coming out to take it.
I got them.
Bailey smiled at her over her shoulder as she took our menus.
Let's just leave these two lovebirds to it.
When they were gone, I turned to scowl at my husband.
Really?
His answer was to burst into laughter. Chapter 7. It turned out that Bailey's best friend, Dahlia, owned a boutique next door to the inn. Hart's gift shop was a much smaller structure, but the two buildings were architecturally similar, down to the white-painted shingles. It even had a porch, although not a wraparound. As Nate and I took our morning stroll together, with the early sun not quite strong enough yet to fight off the ocean breeze, I was glad for my husband's arm around my waist. His body buffered me from the chill, so I only felt it slightly. Beside Dahlia's was a candy store, next to that an arcade, and from there the boards ran along a main thoroughfare. There was a large bandstand at the top of Main Street, a long, wide avenue with parking spaces in the middle to accommodate visitors to not only the beach and boardwalk, but to the commercial buildings on the street. We wandered up and down the tree-lined main street where restaurants, gift shops, clothing boutiques, retailers, fast food joints, spas, coffee houses, pubs, and markets were neighbors. After our little jaunt to nosy at everything, we were distracted before moving on down the boardwalk by a plaque near the bandstand.
This must be it, I said to Nate as we came to a halt.
That morning, when we asked Bailey if there was anywhere in particular she recommended we explore, she'd told us about her friend's places and said we should just stroll along the boardwalk and take it all in. She then proceeded to say,
and you two look so in love, I'm sure you'll prove the legend of Hart's Boardwalk true.
Legend? I'd asked.
There's a spot on the boardwalk near the bandstand with a brass plaque for tourists about the legend. It says if they walk the boardwalk together and they're truly in love, it will last forever. It comes from this old love story dating back to my ancestors. People here have grown to believe that the legend is true because townies who fall in love on the boardwalk stay in love their whole lives. I nudged Nate playfully. You think this is cheesy, don't you? I gestured to the plaque.
I don't need to walk this boardwalk with my hand in yours to know we'll last forever, Liv. I know we'll last forever, because I'm never letting you go.
Nate, I whispered, my eyes stinging with tears. I've missed you.
I'm right here,
he promised me, and bent his head to brush the sweetest kiss across my lips. Our lips tingling with the promise, Nate led me back down the boardwalk where we discovered the ice cream shack, a surf shop, and then Antonio's, the Italian restaurant Bailey had mentioned. She said it was owned by her good friends Iris and Ira. Just down from Antonio's was the largest building on the boards. It was a modern white building with lots of glass. Paradise, Sands, Hotel, and Conference Center. There were no neon signs in sight. Bailey's fiancé's hotel, I said, as we stopped outside of it.
I thought about booking here, Nate said. The rooms are cracking and the sea views are brilliant. But I thought you'd appreciate the inn more.
I do, I assured him. It's like a home away from home, less impersonal than a hotel.
Good.
The hotel was neighbor to another one of Bailey's friend's businesses. The bar Cooper's did have a neon sign because it looked like that kind of place. Bailey said it was the most popular bar in town. It was the boardwalk, apparently. And Cooper was married to her good friend Jessica, who happened to be a local doctor. The bar owner and the doctor. It was a little surprising. I liked it. And thought maybe I should tell Joss about it when I found out more. She liked writing romantic subplots with characters who didn't seem right for each other but turned out to be just what they needed. I lived for Joss's romantic subplots, but not nearly so much as Grace and Shannon did. Those two were huge J.B. Carmichael fans. And just as I was thinking about books, we discovered Emery's bookstore and coffee house. Emery was another of Bailey's good friends. I was thinking Bailey was friends with everyone. She seemed like that kind of woman. We have to go in, I said to Nate. Let's get a coffee and just soak in the books.
Okay, library nerd, he said with a mock, long-suffering sigh.
You know you want coffee. I led him inside and immediately decided screw the beach. We were spending the rest of our vacation here. There was a large counter with several coffee machines behind it. To our right was the bookstore. Up a few steps in front of where we stood was a seating area filled with little white tables and chairs as well as a scattering of comfortable armchairs and sofas situated near a fireplace. There were a few customers here already, sitting at the tables, drinking coffee, some reading, others talking quietly. I glanced around the bookstore with its white painted bookshelves and hodgepodge of comfortable seating. A few Tiffany lamps were set here and there, adding warmth and color. All the woodwork in the store was painted white, and it contrasted beautifully with the rich teal blue of the walls. A woman stepped out from behind the book stacks to our right and startled at the sight of us. She immediately got over it and offered us a shy smile. The bell over my door broke. I didn't hear you come in. Coffee?
Aye, please.
Nate nodded, and we followed her over to the counter. Her startling pale blue eyes assessed Nate for a second, and then her cheeks flushed. You're not from around here.
Scotland, he replied.
Those beautiful eyes of hers flew to me. Long trip? Quite. We're staying at Hart's Inn? I'm sure Bailey is taking good care of you. She was soft-spoken and definitely came off shy. I had no idea what she had to be shy about. She was tall and willowy, with beautiful eyes and a heart-shaped face. She wore her long white blonde hair in an intricate plait that rested over her right shoulder. Wisps of hair framed her lovely face. For a moment, I couldn't figure out who she reminded me of, And then it came to me. My girls had been like most kids and were obsessed with Disney's Frozen for a while.
I'm Emery, she said as she stepped behind the counter. What can I get you?
Emery looked like the live version of Elsa from Frozen.
What do you want, babe?
Nate asked me, jolting me from my musings.
Caramel latte?
My husband ordered an Americano, and as we waited, I decided to indulge my curiosity.
Have you lived here all your life?
Emery glanced over her shoulder at me.
No, I bought this place almost 9 years ago.
Well, I love it. I run a university library back home, so books are my thing. She grinned, totally getting me.
That's cool.
Not just any library.
Nate felt the need to pipe up.
The University of Edinburgh Library.
Emery blushed again for some bizarre reason, her gaze quickly flying from Nate to me.
That's amazing.
I nudged my husband. Stop making me sound cooler than I am. He grinned at me.
No one said anything about you being cool, babe.
You're funny.
I know I am.
Rolling my eyes at his teasing, I looked back at the shop owner as she turned around with our coffees and popped them on the counter for us.
Are you married?
I asked, before she could tell us how much we owed. She avoided my gaze, blushing again, and shook her head.
No.
That's smart.
Stay that way.
I gave my husband a pointed look, but he just grinned smugly at me.
Like you could live without me,
he said, and then turned to Emery.
How much do we owe?
Once we paid, we thanked the woman, and I dragged Nate into the bookstore area of the shop with me. He wanted to sit and enjoy his coffee instead.
You sprang this whole vacation on me, so I didn't have a chance to bring my e-reader or a paperback. I'll need reading material for lazing on the beach.
Actually, that's not a bad idea.
In the end, we both bought a couple of books, and Emery's whole face lit up at the sale.
Have a great vacation,
she called as we walked out, seeming a little less shy than she had been a few minutes before.
Huh.
She's a mystery, I said as we strolled down the boardwalk. The sun was stronger now, beating down warm on my skin. I shrugged out of my cardigan and tied it around my waist as Nate held my coffee and books for me.
What do you mean?
He said as he handed my stuff back to me.
Emery, she's a mystery.
She's beautiful. When you had to notice, she was beautiful.
I don't notice these things when I'm with you.
I rolled my eyes. Liar. He laughed.
Okay, so she was beautiful.
So what? She blushed any time you spoke to her.
I have that effect on women.
That was somewhat true. It was those damn dimples of his when he smiled. But I wasn't telling him that, so instead I snorted. Okay, well, she didn't blush talking to me, which means that she's either shy with good-looking men or just men, period. I mean, I got the impression she was kind of shy anyway, but definitely more so with you.
Beautiful women are allowed to be shy, Liv.
I know that. Kind of. I just... If I looked like her, I would have jumped you as soon as you first smiled at me, way back when we met. People are surprised with all their insecurities. It always shocked me when people I considered amazingly attractive told me about their body hang-ups or issues.
Well, she may be beautiful, babe, but...
Nate wrapped his free hand around my waist and drew me into his side. His hand slid down over my ass as his gaze grew heated.
She's not you. I love your curves, and the way those gorgeous eyes of yours turn to liquid gold when you come.
Arousal flipped in my belly at his words, and my nipples pebbled against the bikini bra under my dress.
You have quite the way with words, Mr. Sawyer, I whispered, staring greedily at his mouth.
If you don't stop staring at my mouth like that, I'm going to break and fuck you before tomorrow night.
Then stop saying stuff that gets me hot. I wrenched away from his hold.
It goes both ways.
I can't help myself.
He smiled, the heated look in his eyes turning tender. I've never been able to help myself when it comes to you.
Oh my God, Nate.
I huffed. You know the romantic stuff gets me just as hot as the sexy stuff. Asshole. I strode away, rattling with sexual frustration.
I love you too,
he called out to me in clear amusement. I stuck my middle finger in the air, not caring about the other tourists, and grinned when I heard Nate howl with wicked laughter.
Chapter 8.
After Nate kissed the snit right out of me and got us even more hot and bothered, we spent the day on the beach. We rented sun loungers with a table and parasol in between them, and spent the day lazing it away. When we knew the kids would be back from school, we Skyped with them on our phones, glad to see they weren't missing us too much, and instead were having fun with Nathan and Sylvie.
It looks so sunny there.
Lily did pout, however. It is, baby girls. I turned the phone so they could see the ocean.
Oh, it's so pretty.
I turned the camera back around.
I miss you. Nana made chocolate chip muffins,
Jan said in answer, meaning they weren't missing me so much. Nate snorted beside me, and I nudged him with my elbow.
I'm jealous.
Sylvie's baking skills were pretty legendary.
Right, girls, time for judo.
Sylvie appeared on the screen and waved at us.
Sorry, darlings, but I've got to get them to their judo class.
Of course. We said our goodbyes and 1,000 love yous and got off the phone. I pouted like my 11-year-old.
I miss them.
Nate grinned.
Me too, but it's only been a day.
I know.
We settled back on our loungers, and I'd just picked up the book I was reading when Nate said,
Would you rather be able to see into your own future, or the future of everyone you love?
I placed my book on my chest and turned to look at him through the dark lenses of my sunglasses. He was propped up on his elbow, looking at me. I mirrored him, turning toward him. What made you think of that one?
I'm reading a sci-fi about the cognitive.
He gestured to the book. Oh, well, okay then. I guess I choose my own future.
Why?
Because if there's something bad in my own future, I could handle that, not the future of the people I love. For instance, I couldn't handle knowing when you were going to die. That would be a living nightmare. Nate immediately flipped onto his back and picked up his book. He didn't say another word. Or tell me of his choice. At his cold abruptness, I was quietly stunned for a moment, just watching him read. And then I got annoyed.
What the hell just happened?
Nothing.
Oh, something happened.
I sat up.
What happened?
It was a stupid question. Morbid answers and all that.
He tried to wave it off, but I wasn't for it.
My answer disturbed you for some reason.
It didn't.
He put his book down and got up off the lounger. I sat stunned as he pressed a kiss to my temple.
I'm heading into the water for a swim.
I watched him. My insides all twisted as he strode, strong, healthy, and fit toward the ocean. My eyes lingered over the tourists, wondering if any of the women were watching him from beneath their sunglasses, and knowing they probably were. I got up, tying my sarong around my waist, because I wasn't confident enough to walk around in just my bikini, and I wandered down the beach toward the water to watch him as he dove in and began to swim. Thinking over my answer to our usually fun would-you-rather questions, I could only assume his weirdness was because I mentioned him dying. I hadn't been lying, either. I would rather know when I was going to leave this earth than know when Nate would. The idea of losing him was crippling. But I didn't linger over the thought. Life was too short. But did Nate linger on the thought of death? Petey's passing had left an indelible mark on my husband. And I wished like hell he would just talk to me about his feelings. I waited for him, deciding we were going to talk about this as soon as he emerged from the ocean. But I didn't get the chance. Nate swam back until he could touch his feet to shore, and my breath caught, watching him as he walked out of the water with droplets glistening all over his tanned skin. My mouth went dry at the thought of launching myself at him right there and then. It momentarily distracted me from my purpose, and then my husband distracted me further when he reached me, grinning at me with those damn dimples. He grabbed the knot on my sarong and pulled it loose. "What are you doing?" I tried to stop him, but he whipped the thing off me before I could resist.
"I want to see you. Stop hiding."
Feeling that prickle of self-consciousness come over me as I stood there in my bikini, I glowered at him. "I'm more comfortable with it on."
"You're gorgeous."
He pulled me toward him, and I stumbled in the sand, falling into his hard chest.
"You have the sexiest, longest fucking legs on the planet. Why would you hide them?"
Warmth suffused me as I trailed my fingertips over his muscular chest.
"I won't then." "Good."
He kissed me softly, and then whispered against my lips.
"I can't wait to have them wrapped around me tomorrow night. I'm going to fuck you so hard, Olivia Sawyer. You'll never rid yourself of the sensation of having my cock inside of you."
I trembled as his calloused hands drifted over my naked back.
"You're doing this deliberately." "You want to be tormented with want, don't you?"
he said, his voice hoarse with sex.
"I'm just obliging you."
"Well, I'm wet," I answered abruptly. His fingers dug into my back.
"I can't make it to tomorrow, Liv."
"Yes, you can," I replied, even though I wasn't sure I could.
"Fuck,"
he bit out. My eyes widened behind my sunglasses.
"What?
What is it?"
"I just realized something."
"What?" He bent his head toward me, his arms binding tight around me so my boobs were pressed to his chest.
"We've been married for 10 years. Together for 14.
"Yeah?"
"And I want you just as much now as I did then. Who in the hell ever heard of that?"
I melted against him. "We're pretty lucky."
"No."
He shook his head, pressing his hand on my ass and nudging his hips against me so I could feel his erection rubbing against me.
"You're a witch. You've cursed my dick to only get hard for you."
I laughed at his nonsense, even though my nipples were like hard pebbles, and I hadn't been lying when I said I was wet. I was slick between my legs. "You do know we're on a public beach, and there are people around."
"Lucky for me, there is an ice-cold ocean at my back."
And quite abruptly, he turned and hurried into it, diving back into the water. It wasn't until later, when we were packing up to go back to the inn, that I realized he'd distracted me. I hadn't asked him about falling back on his old behavior and putting more distance between us again. It bothered me that we could be so close in some ways, so in sync with everything else, including sex, but that there was still this one wall between us. I wasn't going to force conversation, I decided, as we walked hand in hand along the boardwalk with sand between our toes. We'd play our games. We'd fuck the frustration out. And when we'd bridged that distance, I'd start in on the emotional one.
"Hey, guys."
Nate and I had just stepped out of Antonio's, where we'd had delicious pizza, when we heard the familiar voice of Bailey Hartwell. We looked to our left to find her walking toward us from the inn. She wore an olive silk camisole, skinny jeans, and flip-flops. For a moment, I envied her elegant, slender physique. And then I remembered the heat in Nate's eyes while he watched me as I tortured him by showering with the bathroom door open that afternoon. It was time to get over myself and my body hang-ups before it became a problem. I didn't want my girls to have the same self-esteem issues I had, so I needed to curtail my negative thoughts about my own body.
"It's my night off, so I'm heading to Cooper's. Do you guys want to join me? Please, feel free to say no. I don't want to interrupt a romantic evening."
I was practically coming out of my skin for want of my husband, and I think his feelings were pretty near the surface, too. We'd barely spoken a word at dinner. Okay, so we were choking on the sexual tension.
Sounds good, I said, and Nate nodded in agreement.
Awesome. Bailey gave us her glamorous smile. Jess and Vaughn are coming.
Dolly won't be there. She...
Bailey frowned.
She's visiting family in Boston.
Cooper's was already quite busy by the time we got there. The bar had a traditional decor with dark walnut wood everywhere. The long bar, the tables and chairs, even the floor. Three large brass chandeliers broke up the darkness, while wall-mounted green library lamps along the back wall gave the booths there a cozy, almost romantic vibe. There was a small stage near the front door, and just across from the booths were three stairs that led up onto a raised dais, where two pool tables sat. Two huge flat-screen televisions, one above the bar and one above the pool tables, made me think it was part sports bar. There was a large jukebox beside the stage that was currently playing AC/DC's You Shook Me All Night Long. Appropriate. Nate and I shared a look, and I knew we were thinking the exact same thing, which only made us grin at each other.
What?
Bailey asked, smiling curiously. Nothing, I assured her, still laughing.
Ah, private joke. I get it.
Still grinning, she led us to the bar where an attractive blonde turned in her stool to greet Bailey with a wide smile. Behind the bar, making a couple of drinks, was an extremely rugged and handsome guy in his mid to late 30s. He grinned at Bailey, too.
Coop, Jess, I want you to meet two of my guests. They flew in for their 10-year anniversary vacation from Scotland.
Our inn owner turned to us.
Nate, Olivia, this is Cooper. He owns the bar.
She gestured to rugged hot guy. And this is Cooper's wife, Jessica.
Nice to meet you.
Jessica held out her hand, and Nate and I took turns shaking it. Cooper gave us a manly nod of his chin. You enjoying Hartwell so far?
It's beautiful, I nodded.
Even more beautiful with a drink in your hand? Aye, that would be good, Nate said. Two beers, please. Draft.
There's the accent.
Jess grinned at my husband before turning to me.
You don't have one.
Bailey explained for me.
Olivia is American. Her dad is Scottish. They moved back to Scotland. She met Nate, also Scottish.
I nodded with a grin to confirm. Have a seat. Cooper gestured to two empty bar stools. There was another bartender, I noted, but he was busy at the other end of the bar, laughing and joking with a group of women waiting at the bar for their drinks. Nate pulled a stool out for me, and I hopped on it while he took the one next to me. Jessica moved down so Bailey could take the one on my other side.
Where's Tremaine? The doctor asked.
He should be here any minute. I think today has been a trying day for our hotelier.
She winced sympathetically and turned to us.
What do you guys do back in Scotland?
Nate answered as he handed Cooper money for our beers.
I'm a photographer.
And I'm a librarian.
Not just any librarian, Nate said, settling back on his stool. Lev runs the library at the University of Edinburgh.
I shot him a smirk.
You like telling people that, huh?
Proud of you.
He shrugged.
That's very cool, Jessica said, and I wasn't sure if she was talking about my job or my sweet husband.
Before I could say anything, Bailey's head whipped around to the door and her whole face softened. She hopped down off her stool, and Jess moved down one more stool. I followed Bailey's movements as she crossed the bar toward the door. Waiting for her was a guy almost as beautiful as my husband. As soon as Bailey neared him, she put her hands on his chest and he bent his head to press a soft kiss to her lips. She smiled up at him, and although he didn't return it, he didn't need to. This guy looked at Bailey Hartwell like the sun rose and fell with her and her alone. Taking his hand, Bailey strolled back to the bar with him. Up close, the guy was even more beautiful.
Olivia, Nate, this is my fiancé, Vaughn.
Vaughn held out his hand to shake ours, which we did, and I took him in. He wore a suit that was so perfectly cut to his body, it had to be custom-tailored and possibly designer.
If I wasn't mistaken, those polished shoes on his feet were Prada. He had striking gray eyes, made all the more stunning by the long dark lashes framing them, and the thick dark hair on his head. There was something cool and cultured, and perhaps a little aloof about him, and if I'd met him solo, I wouldn't have been that comfortable around him. I liked my men like Nate, open and social and funny. However, I could forgive Von Tremaine his aloofness because every time Bailey opened her mouth to speak, that man watched her like a hawk, like he couldn't get enough of her. She made him smile, and his smile transformed his whole face. Yes, there was no way Bailey Hartwell would look elsewhere for a guy when she had one at her side who looked at her like that. As the evening wore on, and we talked with the people of this beautiful little town, it became clear that Jess and Cooper were just as in love. They were recently married, and clearly still in the first bloom of marital bliss. Why I felt an edge of envy, I did not know. It was ridiculous. I had never envied anyone their relationship when I had Nate. But sitting there, watching two couples so close and in love, I started to feel like I couldn't breathe. I noted the pool tables at the back of the bar, and one was free. Let's play pool. I turned to my husband. Nate quirked an eyebrow at my random suggestion.
Do you know how to play pool?
Do you?
I?
Then you can show me. I climbed off the stool, feeling mischievous, and the feeling helped evaporate my negative emotions. You see, I knew how to play pool. I hadn't played in years, but I was guessing it wasn't something you forgot how to do. My dad was a master at this game, and he'd taught me well. However, Nate didn't need to know that. Bailey grinned at us as we got up. Enjoy. Nate led me across the bar with his hand on my lower back, and up the steps to the pool table that was free. He racked the balls and handed me a cue stick.
Object of the game is to pocket all of your balls, plus the eight ball.
He gestured to the black numbered ball in the triangle.
I'll break, show you how it's done. And when it comes to your turn, I'll guide you. Sound good?
I smiled sweetly at my husband. Great. Watching him bend over the table with his cue stick, I leaned back a little to get a look at his ass. Always a very nice view. I giggled to myself as my husband pocketed ball four while the others scattered against the rails with the power of his shot. Nate might be good at this, I thought. Right. He stood up and I lost my sneaky smirk, replacing it with what I hoped came off as a sincere eagerness to learn.
I pocketed a low ball, so my goal is to pocket all of them. Balls 1-7. Your goal is to pocket the high balls, balls 9-15. The object of the game is to do that and pocket the eight ball.
He gestured to the only black ball on the table. Okay. He then commenced pocketing three more balls before he missed the next shot. My turn. So, I held up my cue stick. How do I do this? Nate gave me a cocky grin, those dimples of his flashing as he rounded the table to me. He got me in position, bent over the pool table, and leaned over me, his breath hot on my cheek.
Keep your shooting arm parallel to the line of shot, and perpendicular to the table as you shoot.
I nodded, and deliberately missed my shot.
Too bad, babe.
Nate squeezed my arse.
But not gonna lie, I like that I'm going to have to show you how to do this some more.
I grinned as I got up, my breasts brushing his chest. I bet you are. He winked at me.
First, I'm going to kick your arse.
I rolled my eyes and watched him take out the rest of his balls, easily. Now it was my turn to take down his balls, metaphorically speaking. Another game? I pouted. I barely got a chance to try.
Okay, babe. Do you want to try breaking?
I nodded uncertainly as he racked the balls, and then I said, maybe we should make it more interesting.
How so?
A bet. Whoever loses has to strip naked and go into the ocean at night before we leave for home.
You do realize how fucking freezing that ocean is at night.
Nate said, concerned.
Babe, you're not going in that ocean at night, naked.
So cocky. I might win, I said, pretending to sound uncertain.
Babe.
You chicken? He narrowed his eyes.
Fine. Loser freezes her naked arse off in the ocean.
I held out my hand across the table. Shake on it. He did, his grip firm, his gaze still a little worried. In answer, I lifted the rack, handed it to him, bent over the table, positioned myself perfectly, and let my cue stick fly. I pocketed 2 highballs.
What the?
My husband stared in astonishment. An astonishment that only grew to realization as I rounded the table, pocketing all of my balls. Finally, I pocketed the 8 ball. I did it in under 3 minutes. Straightening, I smiled at my husband. He glowered at me.
You hustled me. You fucking hustled me.
I threw my head back in laughter. By the time I got my laughter under control, Nate had rounded the table to pull me into his arms. I grinned at him, seeing his annoyed amusement.
You're lucky that was sexy as hell, or I'd be pissed off right about now.
It was funny. I dropped the cue stick and wrapped my arms around his neck. And you thought you knew everything you possibly could about your wife.
No.
He shook his head, his eyes dropping to my mouth.
You never stop surprising me.
His hands tightened on my waist.
Who taught you to play pool?
My dad. He taught me well. Nate kissed me softly and murmured against my lips.
If I have to get blue balls standing in a freezing cold ocean, don't make me have blue balls lying next to my wife in bed tonight.
I kissed him back. It'll be worth the wait, I promise. His eyes flashed in irritation, and I wondered if maybe this game I was playing was the wrong game when our relationship felt so fragile. Are you mad? Instead of answering, he said,
You promise this is just about wanting great sex, and not about wanting to delay sex with me.
Why did he still think that? Of course not, Nate. All I can think about is sex with you.
Then I'm not mad, he said promptly. But maybe we should just head back to the inn, so I can take a cold shower.
He let go of my waist and stepped back, but still he took my hand.
Watching you whip that table's arse was hot as hell.
I laughed, and he turned to smile wickedly at me. We said goodnight to Jess, Coop, Bailey, and Vaughn, and as we were leaving, I could have sworn I heard Bailey say, That right there is what I call relationship goals. Was she talking about me and Nate? I wondered, as I strolled down the boardwalk with my husband, who still wouldn't confide in me about his pain. I had to ask myself then, if everyone else thought Nate and I had an amazing relationship, and Nate thought we had an amazing relationship, then what the hell was my goddamn problem? Chapter 9. I was strangely nervous when I walked into the bar. The girls had bought me a sexy little dress that told me, as the entire contents of my suitcase had, that my girls knew what I liked to wear and what suited me. It was pink because it was still summer, but a deep magenta because I didn't do pastels. It had thick straps, a sweetheart neckline that showed off my impressive cleavage, and it nipped in at the waist and then flared out so it wasn't clinging to me and showing all my problem areas. It was also short, sitting just above my knees, because my legs were one of my best features and I liked to get them out every now and then. I'd paired the dress with the high gold wedges they'd also bought for me, and let's just say those shoes made my legs look pretty kick-ass. After sitting in the sun for 2 days, I was already a nice, light golden color, because I had naturally olive-toned skin. Nate just had to look at the sun for his skin to quickly darken a shade or two. As soon as I thought of my husband by name, I threw him out of my head. Tonight, I wasn't to think of him as Nate.
Nate had taken a walk down the beach while I was primping so he'd be surprised by what I was wearing when we did eventually meet up. He was going to be the stranger from the bar. And I was Olivia, a lonely wife whose husband had grown emotionally distant from her, and although she wasn't looking to make a connection, a stranger from the bar was going to be her escape from reality. So okay, I should have given myself a backstory that wasn't so close to the bone, but hey, it was what I was feeling, and it was fueling the need and hurt and desire and longing swirling around within me. After I got a drink at the bar, I saw a couple get up and leave one of the high round tables in the middle of the place. There were only two high stools at the table. Perfect. I grabbed the table before anyone else could and tried to get up onto the stool as elegantly as possible in my dress. I was 5'7", just shy of 6 feet in my super high wedges. How anyone shorter than me was supposed to get up onto these things without assistance was beyond me. Settling in, I stared around at the low-lit room. Purple strip lights had been placed behind the bar shelves, so the ceilings glowed purple there, and the floor beneath the bar did too. This effect was used throughout. The music was loud, but not too loud, which was a relief, because a lot of places back home got that wrong. You could barely hear yourself think in a lot of the so-called trendy bars in Edinburgh. Not that I would know if that was still the case, since I didn't go to bars much anymore. There were plenty of couples here, plus groups of girlfriends, all guy friends, mixed groups, and singles eyeing each other up. The bar staff were young and attractive, flirty and fun. The music had a thrumming dance bass, electronics, and no heart, making me long for the stunning, dark, ethereal storytelling of my favorite band. As my gaze drifted through the crowds and back toward the bar, it stuck on a guy who looked an awful lot like my husband. He wore a dark shirt, either black or navy, it was hard to tell in the light, and dark suit pants. His shirt was rolled up at the cuffs, showing off his forearms. He had strong, sexy forearms. Forearms could be so sexy. Seeming to sense my gaze, he turned his head as he took a sip of his beer, and our eyes met. He immediately lowered his drink, his gaze traveling down the length of me as I sat back in the stool, the table far enough away from me that it didn't block his view of the dress. When our eyes finally met again, I inhaled sharply at the hard look that crossed his features. It was like I pissed him off and turned him on all at the same time. That look hit me right between the legs. Trying not to squirm, I reached for my drink and calmly took a sip. But all the while I felt like the bar was just getting hotter and hotter, and the cold beer I was drinking wasn't doing anything to cool me off. This scene wasn't me. If it had ever been me, it had been the me of yesteryear. The trendy bar, the low lighting, the sexy dress. The man across the bar who was currently eye-fucking me. Yes, eye-fucking me. I could be ladylike and come up with a far sweeter descriptor, but really no other word could describe the heat in the stranger's eyes as he looked at me. If my husband knew what I was thinking right now? I felt more than a pang of guilt that this stranger was the one making me feel this way, like the dress I was wearing was too tight, too everything, and I couldn't wait to be naked. Naked and slick with sweat as my body writhed with the man who was staring at me like I was the very embodiment of sex. Staring at me in a way Nate hadn't looked at me in so long. At the reminder of the disconnect between me and my husband, I threw away my guilt and finally gave the stranger the small smile of encouragement he'd been waiting on. He crossed the room with his drink in hand and gave me the sexiest smile as he settled on the stool next to me. Our fingers grazed as he put his glass on the little round table, and I felt the hair at the nape of my neck stand on end. Our eyes met and locked. Suddenly, it felt difficult to breathe. There was so much tension coiling around my body. The only man who had ever made me feel this needy was my husband, and this stranger had the same magnetic sexual ability. Of course he did.
I haven't seen you around here before,
the stranger said, his eyes dipping to my mouth and then to my chest, visible in my low-cut dress. When his gaze came back to mine, I raised an eyebrow as if to say, Are you done? The stranger laughed softly, and the husky sound shot tingles between my legs, not to mention the dimples that popped in his cheeks were incredibly goddamn sexy.
I'm not from around here, I replied.
He cocked his head to study me.
Your accent. It's hard to place. East Coast, though, right?
Arizona, actually.
I would never have guessed that.
I gave an insouciant little shrug, and he grinned, his eyes roaming my face. Years ago, I would have squirmed under his perusal, geeking out and stumbling over my words. Nate had changed me. Doubt stopped me from returning the man's smile. My husband had done a lot for me. No, he wasn't perfect, and he'd hurt my feelings deeply of late. But I knew I should be giving my come-hither smiles to him, and not to this guy. Pretending might not be what was best right now, for either of us.
God, you're sexy as fuck,
the stranger said.
I've been fantasizing about you since the moment you walked into Germaine's.
And as shallow as that was, the hoarse sincerity in his words gave me pause. Nate wasn't here. It wasn't Nate who wanted me like this. It was this stranger.
Stop thinking so much.
I actually heard Nate's voice in my head.
Play a little, Lev.
At the perverse imaginary encouragement of my husband, I leaned a little farther over the table, giving the stranger a better look down my dress.
Tell me.
Tell you.
About this fantasy of yours.
His lips curled at the corners, as though he was surprised by my request, but pleased. Leaning toward me, he said,
Shouldn't I tell you my name first?
I don't want to know your name, or where you come from, who you are, and I don't want to tell you my name. His gaze darkened as it dipped to my lips.
Then I'll tell you what you do want to know. Since the moment you walked in, I've been picturing those long fucking legs of yours wrapped around my waist as my cock thrusts into you.
My breath stuttered.
I want to pull down that sweet dress you're wearing and see for myself if those tits of yours are as beautiful as I'm thinking they are. And then I want to wrap my lips around your nipple and suck it, while I put my hand up your dress and under your knickers. I'd finger-fuck you and play with those perfect tits until you came. Hard. Quick. Fast. Good. But not nearly satisfying enough for either of us.
His chest heaved a little as he leaned even farther into me, until our faces were only inches apart.
You would be soaked and swollen, and I'd be so fucking hard I'd be in pain. Then I'd take out my cock, and I'd fill you, babe, until all you could feel and hear and smell is me as I fucked you.
I almost breathed out his name. I was so lost in his erotic description. My hands were trembling with want until my nipples were tight and my breasts swollen, and I was seconds away from tearing off my dress and throwing my body at this potent man.
What do you think?
The stranger said.
Sound like something you might want to make a reality?
The part that was warring with me, the guilt and worry, I shoved to the back of my mind.
Yes.
The stranger's eyes darkened with pleasure, and he slowly, gracefully stood up from the stool and held his hand out to me.
I knew there was a possibility this was the wrong road to take, that pretending might make things worse. But right then, I was so overwhelmed with desire I couldn't see sense. I just wanted satisfaction, and I knew that was something this guy could give me. I just knew. So I took his hand, slid off the stool, grabbed my purse, and let him lead me through the youthful throngs and out into the dark sea air of Main Street. We were silent as we walked, me hurrying to keep up with him as he took long-legged strides away from the beach. He led us right off Main Street, and I followed him for 2 blocks until we were in a quiet area. There were still mostly stores here, but they were all closed. The street looked like a ghost town. I had just opened my mouth to ask what we were doing here, when he suddenly pulled me down an alley between 2 stores. The farther he led me, the darker it got, until my heart started to pound in trepidation. But I didn't have time to grow overly concerned because suddenly I was pushed roughly up against the cold wall of a building. His body was pressing mine hard into it, so I could feel the slightly jagged scrape of the brickwork at my back. He captured my wrists in his hands and pinned them, holding me completely captive as my eyes adjusted to the dark. And I could just make him out from the little light still shining down on us from the street beyond the alley. Breathing heavily, his face but an inch from mine, he stared into my eyes and said hoarsely,
"Last chance to change your mind."
My skin was flushed. In fact, my whole body was alight with constant, chaotic heat. I could feel my breasts swell up against the tight confines of my dress, and the tingling between my legs had increased to an insistent throb. My breath hitched, and I felt his erection pushing against my belly.
"I'll fuck you right here and now if you don't say otherwise."
My knees trembled, but somehow, my breathing harsh in the quiet air, I managed to move my feet, widening my legs in invitation. I whispered,
"I'm not saying otherwise."
And just like that, I had his mouth, while his hands unintentionally pressed mine harder into the wall. The brick scratched against my skin, but I couldn't complain. It spurred me. It made me hotter, letting him take control and give us what we both wanted, what we both needed. His lips were hot against my lips when his tongue slid against mine as he deepened the kiss and ground his lower body against me. My nipples instantly hardened. The stranger kissed like Nate used to kiss, ferocious, like he couldn't get enough of me. I let out a little gasp of excitement as he released my lips to trail his down my throat, traveling lower to the rise of my breasts. He squeezed my wrists as I arched against his mouth. In answer, he released his hold on my hands and pulled back to stare at my flushed face. My skin felt inflamed and much too tight. My lower belly flipped at the hunger I felt pouring off him as he slipped his fingers under the straps of my dress. With a deliberate slowness that caused my breathing to grow more erratic, he lowered the straps of my dress, tugging on them until the front of it was bunched under my bra. The stranger groaned as he pushed my bra down and cupped my breasts. They overflowed in his hand, and I felt his dick strain even more against me. It didn't surprise me that the stranger loved my breasts as much as my husband. His head descended, and I cried out as his mouth wrapped around my nipple. Hands free of his, now that his were full of other endeavors, I reached for him, my arms curling around his neck, drawing him closer. I moaned, my head falling back against the brick wall, feeling my hair catch on it and not caring as he licked and sucked and tormented before moving on to my other nipple. My senses were overwhelmed by his scent, his heat, his hardness and strength. I was surrounded, just like he promised. I writhed against him and felt his groan against my breast, the sound reverberating through me deliciously. In answer, he pressed his body deeper into mine and lifted his head to kiss me again. This kiss was harder, wetter,
voracious. I instantly wrapped myself around him, and my fingers curled in the hair at the back of his neck as I licked and sucked and flicked my tongue against his. Our kiss so deep, I wasn't aware of anything but him. I forgot where I was entirely. My hands tugged at his shirt, pulling it out of his trousers and slipping underneath the fabric so I could trace his hard stomach before sliding down to his pants. I fumbled for the button, got it, and then began unzipping him. He gently brushed my hands away and slipped his own hand under my dress. As his fingertips trailed along my inner thigh, he said against my mouth,
"Let me feel how wet you are first, babe."
I huffed impatiently. "I'm soaked. Fuck me already." He groaned again, his fingers pushing under my knickers and inside of me, easily.
"So bloody wet. Christ, you want this."
No shit. I whimpered as he slid two fingers inside of me, and I pushed my hips into them. He pulled back to stare into my eyes as he fucked me with his fingers.
"You're a mystery."
"How?" I voiced hoarsely.
"So classy, babe. Didn't think a woman like you would get off this much from fucking a stranger in an alley."
"I'm full of surprises," I gasped, urging him with my body not to stop.
"I wonder what your husband would think."
His lips skimmed my jaw until his mouth stopped at my ear.
"I saw your ring, babe. Know you've got a man out there somewhere. Would he care that I'm about to drive my cock into you? Would it kill him with jealousy?"
"I don't think so." I shook my head, wanting to rile him. He wouldn't give a shit. He pulled his hand out from under my dress in punishment, and I opened my eyes to find him glaring at me.
"Wrong answer."
His mouth slammed down on me, hard, bruising, and I matched him for fierceness as I sucked on his tongue. It descended into the dirtiest kiss we'd ever shared. Ever. Surprise and excitement burned through me. I felt his warm, rough hands on my outer thighs as they brushed my skin, pushing my dress up to my waist. The stranger gripped the fabric of my knickers and tugged, and they slid down my legs. The sudden air between my legs increased the throbbing need he was building in me again. We both reached for his suit pants and we shoved them and his boxers down, freeing him. Gripping my legs, spreading them, the stranger thrust into me, hard. I cried out in pleasured pain, wanting to say his name, and just stopped myself in time, the pulsing heat of him overwhelming me. All of my focus was on the sensation of his thickness inside me, and I struggled for breath as I fought the desire to take control. I didn't want to take control. I wanted him to be beyond all reasoning and take me how he wanted to take me. No thought, no care. Just fuck me like he couldn't breathe another second in this world if he didn't. The stranger eased me up against the wall so I could wrap my legs around him. It shifted him deeper inside me, and my fingers bit into his shoulders. His mouth tugged on my nipple, and my inner muscles clamped around his dick and snapped what little control he had left.
Yes!
He pounded us into the wall, thrusting into me hard, gliding in and out of me with increasing frenzy. He lifted his head, and our eyes met in the darkness. As he watched me, something changed in his expression, and somehow his thrusts grew even faster, deeper, and out of control. I felt his thumb press down on my clit, and the combination of his cock inside of me and him rubbing my clit blew me apart. My release triggered his, as my inner muscles rippled around his dick. His body locked against mine, his muscles strained, and he let out a deep grunt as his hips jerked against me in climax. The world slowly came back to me as the euphoria of my orgasm faded. Suddenly, I was painfully aware of the cold brick wall at my back, of Nate's chest rising against mine as we struggled to get our breath back, of his heavy weight against me, of his lips touching my neck.
Fear slithered through me. We hadn't had sex like that, passion between us like that, in a long time. And it hadn't really